Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their crosses and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes into glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord.
May the works that I've done speak for me. May the life that I live speak for me. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Please be seated. So, what I just said there, I've decided to incorporate that into my daily prayers. I think it's pretty cool. I've never really thought about it before. So, because deeds, not words. You can talk a good game, but can you deliver? That's what I'm talking about when I say, may the works that I've done speak for me. I say that before each homily. I want to be judged on my deeds and the life that I live. That's kind of what James has been saying to us. Mother Anita touched on it last week. What does a prophet if a man says that he has faith but has not works? Can his faith save him? If a brother or sister is ill-clad and in lack of daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace and be warm, and be filled," without giving them the things that they need to do so? What does that profit? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. James goes on, "But some will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my works by my faith.'" It's believed by some that James wrote his letter as a response to Paul. With Paul's emphasis on faith, referring to works as fruits of the Spirit, faith without works is dead. Not that Paul didn't believe in works. He just had a different emphasis. In today's lesson, James tells us we all make mistakes, many mistakes. And if anyone makes no mistakes in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body, controlling your tongue, controlling what you say is the lesson here. James uses the imagery of a horse with the bit used by humans, you know, that little piece of metal that presses on their tongue and makes them go where you want them to. And a ship's rudder steering that big ship. For all the animals that humans have tamed and can control, we cannot control our own tongues. James said, with it, with our tongues, we bless the Lord, and we curse men who are made in the likeness of the Lord. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. May the life that I live speak for me. Last week was the ministry fair. Did you go down to the parish hall? Those of you, anyone go down to the parish hall? Better question, did you visit the tables or just grab a coffee and a donut? Whilst there at the tables, was it your normal chatter amongst friends just talking? I hope not, truly. I hope you had an earnest discussion with someone about their ministry, that you found a way to show your faith in the works you do, either here at the church or outside our doors. Faith without works is dead. Faith is not enough. Who is wise and understanding amongst you? By their good life, let them show their works in the meekness of wisdom. Faith may not be enough, but it is needed. One way to express your faith, you probably know it's coming. As always, the Bible tells us that we should pray frequently, genuinely. Prayer is that conversation that you have with God, perhaps to determine what deeds you should do, or perhaps just telling God about your day. Talk to God. Pray. Part of being wise is knowing how to think carefully and act with virtue, especially when it's so much easier to simply react. Controlling our tongue, watching what we say. James also used the metaphor of a spark, a small flame that starts a wildfire, a raging inferno. That small spark can also start the burner on a gas stove or a fireplace to warm either our food or our bodies. Controlling our tongues is hard. Controlling our speech is a never-ending struggle. But it is possible. It is. We do, in fact, can, in fact, bless God with our voices and do so sincerely, without reservations. And if we can use our tongues to bless God, then we can use our tongues to other good purposes. If we are fig trees, we cannot be olives. If we are grapevines, we cannot be figs. No more than we can bless God and curse people made in God's image. James is asking us to look within and focus. Take care in how we speak. care for those in distress or in need. Words mean things. Misinformation, disinformation, deception, slander, libel. All the words that come out of our mouths can determine who we are. We can control our tongues. To do so will require constant attention to who we are and what God has made us to be. All of this brings me to, may the works that I've done speak for me. May the life that I live speak for me. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Amen.